Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. These are God's words. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Thus far, the reading of God's words, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. Now, I remember hearing about this story in Bible class. We called it Sunday school on the Lord's days growing up as a child. And I remember them telling us that the reason that Jesus would preach from the boats a little bit off of the shore is that it would make this natural amphitheater, that you could get more people to be able to hear you by bouncing the sound of your voice off of the water, and because at the shore there would be this kind of bank going up. And we've been, Mom and I have actually been to the Sea of Galilee, and we've seen shorelines like that, and that's all good and well, and maybe true, although it doesn't say anything about the shoreline being like this. What it says is that the reason that Jesus had to get into the boats is because there were so many people pressing about him. And the wonderful thing is that they're not here pressing about him to be healed. They are pressing about him to do what? Verse 1, to hear the word of God. And so there is a wonderful catch in this passage, in these first 11 verses of the Gospel of Luke. But the wonderful catch is not the fish that sink John and Peter's boats, or start to sink. They're able to get them to the shore. The wonderful catch is the people who have been captured by Jesus speaking, so that they pressed about him, not just to be healed, but to hear the word of God. It's the same kind of catch that has happened to each of you, my dear children. If when you hear the Bible, your heart is glad to hear the Lord Jesus. When you sit under faithful Bible preaching, your heart is glad to hear the Lord Jesus. That is the Lord Jesus by his Spirit exercising almighty power to capture your mind, to capture your heart. And you can be like the wife in Song of Solomon, amazed that the great king has set his love upon you and has drawn you to himself, and his banner over you is love. He's exercised his almighty power to to make you his very own. And so the Lord is exercising power like that. And if Peter had recognized what was going on, it would not have been in the boat that he fell to his knees and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." He would have realized that Jesus is holy on the shore. He would have seen all these people thronging about him to hear his words. And he would have fallen to his knees on the shoreline and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." For surely the capturing of men's minds and hearts is a greater catch than the capturing of fish. But our Lord Jesus, in order to show Peter and James and John and Andrew, who is Peter's brother, and surely he is one of the ones who follows Jesus in verse 11, in order to show them the power by which he would enable them to catch men, he gets them to let down the nets, right? That's the big difference between the catch on the shore, where Jesus is capturing with just his word, and then the catch in the boats. He employs the disciples to let down the nets and to catch the fish. And so this is important. It tells us that we want preachers who are going to trust in Christ and be means that God uses, and who will study carefully to show themselves approved workmen, who will know, in the analogy here, as the fishermen, you know, knew how to operate the boats, knew how to let down the nets, knew how to gather. Of course, Jesus is the one who gives the catch. That's the main point. But he uses men, and he makes their work effective by his almighty power. And so I pray, and you can pray for me and for other preachers, that God would help me to do my work faithfully, but that what would come would be something that comes by his power. And so they don't have any other explanation. They know what they're doing, but they don't have any other explanation for the fish. Why? Because they knew when to fish. They knew where to fish. They worked hard all night, and fished all night and caught nothing. And there's no expectation of success except that Jesus said so. Oh, how we need to remember this in our spiritual lives when we are coming to do that which feels like it could never possibly bear fruit, or that we have been trying long and hard at it and we're still not seeing the fruit that we had expected. And then we come to the scripture and our Lord says so. He says to keep giving your children the discipline and instruction of the Lord. He says to you to persist in prayer, and to keep studying his word, meditating upon it, even though you haven't seen the fruit or results that you want. And yet our Lord has said so. And so we do what the Lord has said, and we trust the results to him. And so they don't have any reasonable expectation of success, but Simon says, "I will do it, Lord, because you say so." And he did. And what happens? The net is so full that it is breaking, so full that when they start emptying it into the boats, not just Simon's boat starts to sink, but Simon's boat and John's boat start to sink from the amount of fish. And at this point, Peter realizes what he should have realized on the shore, right? That this is not some mere clever talker or even some spiritually powerful prophet who is able to heal things and cast out demons. This one in his boat is holy. And he's like Isaiah when he sees the scene of the holiness of Christ. And the Gospels tell us that Isaiah wrote this when he saw Jesus. And he sees the scene of the holiness of Christ in Isaiah chapter 6, the king who is high and lifted up. And he realizes that the king is holy. And he says, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And Peter has a similar experience. Our sin should make us feel like that before God. When we see God's holiness, we need to realize that it is dangerous to sinners, that we deserve his wrath, that we would not only would we not enjoy heaven, we could not survive heaven as sinners in the presence of a holy God. And yet in Isaiah chapter 6, there's the call from the altar with the sacrifice that, of course, and the sacrifice that is acknowledged in heaven, and even now that sits resurrected on the throne of heaven, is our Lord Jesus. And so there's atonement there. And similar here, Jesus' answer is, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Jesus explains to Peter that he is here in his power not to destroy sinners, but he is here in his power to save sinners. He's not just here giving Peter encouragement for the ministry that he's going to have later as an apostle, preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus by his Spirit using Peter's preaching to save sinners then. He's answering Peter's statement or request, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. And the response is, do not be afraid. And that's a response too. If the Lord blesses us to respond to the holiness of Jesus, to see the holiness of Jesus as dangerous to us in our sin, and to understand that sin cannot survive the holiness and glory of Christ, then this is Jesus' response to us too. Do not be afraid. Do not run from Christ because he is dangerous to you. Run to Christ because he uses his power to save you, to take away the guilt of your sin, and to guarantee that by his work in you, you will be made fit for the glory, for the heaven that he has earned for you. And that's the work that he's doing in believers' lives, is making us holy so that we can enjoy him forever. Yes, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And when the Lord saves us to enable us to enjoy him, one of the things that he must do is make us holy. And so that is what he's doing with his almighty power, is saving us so that we don't have to be afraid. And so he says to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Ever since the moment that they saw that the two boats were sinking, Jesus became more important than fishing. Right? If you're still focused on fishing and the two boats are sinking, you're thinking, let's get to land and sell these fish. We're going to be rich. But their response was one of astonishment at Christ. When we see God, when we see the Lord Jesus' greatness, we should be astonished at him and worship him. Yes, glad over all the good that he does for us, but especially astonished at him and full of worship to him. And then when he gives us command, that should become more important to us than anything else we had wanted to do. So you have a command to honor your mother, for instance, and you've got things that you want to do. And then your mom comes and gives you an instruction. And immediately, whatever she said to do becomes more important than whatever else you wanted to do, because you're astonished at Christ and you would forsake all to follow him. Doesn't mean you can't fish. Doesn't mean you can't play or, you know, read whatever, you know, interesting things you guys are reading or work on whatever interesting things you guys are working on. But it does mean that as soon as you have a command from Christ that comes into competition with that, you reject whatever else it was, and you follow and obey your Lord Jesus. And so if we're astonished at him, if we're full of worship towards him, if we realize that he exercises this holy and almighty power not to destroy us but to save us, then not only do we obey the command, do not be afraid, by trusting in him, but we also obey whatever he tells us to do. And if he says, from now on, you will catch men, we leave all and follow him. Let's pray. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we thank you for the great displays of your power in this passage, in the work that you did, and the multitudes that they would press so hard to hear the Word of God. And we pray that you would be exercising that power in our lives, that you would make our hearts long to hear your Word, O Lord. Pray that you would be doing that in our church and in all of the churches where your Word is preached faithfully. That you would, by the power by which you worked in the crowd, by the power by which you worked in the fish, by your almighty power, make us long to hear your Word. We thank you that you do many glorious things, including making the fish go into the net and making the sun to come up every day and feeding the birds and clothing the flowers and all of the different displays of your glory, whether spiritual in redemption or ordinary in general in the creation. We pray that you would make us to see your power everywhere, that our hearts would be full of astonishment, that our hearts would be full of worship towards you. Make us to be full of thankfulness and peace and joy because we see the exercise of your power everywhere. And use that, we pray, to make us especially full of peace and joy because we know that you are especially using your power to save us, to put away our sin, to get us ready for glory, and to make us effective in whatever ministry you give us and whatever commands you give us to obey. Help us, Lord, to take your commands more seriously, as more important than anything else that we might have wanted to do or been occupied with doing. But the moment that we know something that we ought to do from you, help us to leave off whatever else it was and immediately follow you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray that your Spirit would bless it to us, that what we have just been asking you for, we would see you doing, making us more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness, which we ask in your name, Lord Jesus, and your children here say, amen.